Hello, everybody, and welcome to the All Hoops Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Inman, sitting next to my co-host, Chris Brito. The NBA season is less than 2 weeks old, and we already have our first fight. But before we get to all that, we had the latest rumor on Jimmy Butler, and New York has already begun their pitch for Kevin Durant joining the Knicks next season. Chris and I will discuss the team I'm most impressed with later in the show. But first, Chris, why don't you start us off with Jimmy Butler and what's the latest with him?
Yeah, so it was a report out of Woj reported this about an hour ago, where the Rockets are offering four conditional first rounders for Jimmy Butler, with the hope that he'll resign with the team later on in the summer. Let me just say, Steve, I think we've heard of crazy offers, and I think this has to be one of the ones on that crazy list. This echoes a lot with what the Nets did a few years ago when they acquired Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett,
Jason Terry,
and they offered their whole farm of first rounders for those players. And Brooklyn is still paying.
They haven't had a first round pick since.
Well, right, and Brooklyn is still paying
their own first round pick,
paying for their sins in that trade still. And you'd think the Houston Rockets would have learned from that. The one thing, though, I think it is worth it for them, Jimmy Butler is still someone in his prime. He's someone who could offer big numbers, who can play defense, something clearly that they're missing with Ariza gone. And I think this makes sense for the Houston Rockets. And even though it's pretty crazy trade, but it worked. This is one of the few deals that probably works out for both parties. I think four first-round picks a little over the top. But who cares if you get to be, a championship contender at the end of the year?
I have two thoughts on this, Chris. First of all, from the Houston Rockets standpoint, it does make sense in this standpoint. One, we kept saying, why would we give up draft picks for a rental? We kept saying that, right? For Houston and Miami, they don't have the cap space to go out and sign Jimmy Butler as a free agent. So the only way they can get him is by trading for him, okay?
Yeah.
Now, if you're the Minnesota Timberwolves, and you have Jimmy Butler showing up your players, and you have Jimmy Butler and the team as a whole not, winning games, why wouldn't you take this offer, rebuild your team with Towns under contract long-term, Wiggins under contract long-term, and Jeff Teague, who's still a very good player, under contract long-term? You would take this deal and you would run as far as you can before the Rockets realize, oh, wait, we just traded four first-round picks.
And let's not even go too far. I mean, they could always use those first-round picks to trade for better talent later on.
Absolutely.
Or even package someone like Gorgui Dieng, who has a horrendous contract.
And again, you can't trade every year's pick. It would be every other year, right?
Right, so right. It would be 19, 21, 20, 2019, 2021, 2023, 2025.
So we're talking 2025, 7 years from now, okay?
Jesus Christ.
7 years from now. Tom Thibodeau... Let's say he's not even there 7 years from now. You know what's going to happen? They're going to get what could be a very good pick. Who knows what James Harden looks like 7 years from now? Who knows what he looks like 5 years from now? And Timberwolves, Minnesota fans are going to smile when they say Tom Thibodeau, wherever he is, got a first-round pick from Houston unprotected, 7 years ago.
And not to get grim, but tomorrow isn't assured for anyone or anything. And... this works for both Minnesota and this works for Houston as well, because, this may be the year for Houston, the last hurrah. Maybe.
You know what is assured for, the future? Jimmy Butler will still be upset with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Take this deal and run.
Right. And not only that, what better deal can you get out there for a player who's basically a rental?
He is a rental.
I know, but what better deal can you get than that?
I mean, they...
You can't.
You wonder if they want, players instead. They had an offer for Josh Richardson, round pick. No to that.
I would make the case for someone someone like Eric Gordon to space out the floor a little bit. But, I mean, four first round picks, I think this is a deal you have to at least heavily consider.
You kept bringing up the Eric Gordon one. I don't get that.
I'm a big fan of him. I think the shooting could help the team. And if they still have playoff aspirations, he could be a nice, a shooter to complement Towns. Because that's one of the things they're lacking right now. They're gonna miss scoring once Butler is gone.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon signed a 4-year deal a couple years ago, and he's, you know, making $13 million this year, a fine deal for him, $14 million next year. Then he's a free agent, and Eric Gordon is not putting the Timberwolves over the top. If you acquire Eric Gordon, for Jimmy Butler in this deal, right, he is not going to push them to a playoff spot, is he?
I mean, we'll have to see what Towns is made of. I don't think they will either without Butler.
So, why would you take the picks?
Imagine now, like, Butler was out 1 or 2 games already, and, like, what, Timberwolves are 2-3?
2-3.
2-3.
0-3 on the road.
I think the Jimmy Butler effect is casting a huge shadow of the Wolves, and if there's any way to get that out of the way is, like, to trade him. Just do it. Just pull the plug, man. I mean, yeah.
Pull the trigger.
Pull the trigger, not the plug.
Pull
the plug on Butler in Minnesota.
Let's just say this rumor is true, right, Chris? And we don't see this trade happening yet. The one excuse the T-Wolves have to not trade and make this deal is they have to make the salaries work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible that a Brandon Knight would be thrown into this deal who makes a similar, you know, salary to Jimmy Butler. And he is not eligible to be traded until Halloween. Because it's 2 months after he was acquired from the Phoenix Suns.
Well, not only Brandon Knight, but also Marquise Chris.
He's not making much money, but right. You know, he could be part of that deal too. We don't know.
That'll be something, if I'm Minnesota, that I'm willing to, like, ask about too.
Sure.
But then Houston's bench gets decimated by a lot. But anyways, that's not a problem.
This reminds me a little bit of what the Celtics did right before the draft a couple years ago, when they fell in love on draft day with a wing player named Justice Winslow. And basically, they begged the Hornets to, you know, trade up with them. And I think they offered something like 7 future draft picks between first and second. And the team,
glad they didn't make that trade.
And the Hornets were like, no, we think we like Frank Kaminsky. We think he's the guy for us. And, you know, that deal would have changed both franchises in the opposite directions. And, you know, you never know, but at the same time, sometimes the best deal is the one you don't make. And to me, I would not touch this deal if I'm Houston, because they still are good enough to, you know, go to a Western Conference final, and I don't think Jimmy Butler puts them over the top, you know?
I don't know, man. But let's talk about something else that's happening right now. On Friday night, the Warriors are coming to MSG. They play the Knicks, our New York Knicks, who, as of late, have been playing, in my opinion, gritty defense. You know, they're clearly a young team that's figuring things out. They got blown out by Miami on Wednesday night, but I'm excited to see where the team is going, and I'm excited to see how they fare against somebody like the Warriors. Up to this point, they've played up to their opponents a lot. They've matched up with the Celtics. They've matched up well with
the Bucks
pretty well. They almost, you know, they almost caught up in Milwaukee. So now that the Warriors are into town, they're at home. They'll be pumped. There's gonna be a lot of adrenaline. I'm curious to see how the Knicks will fare. And another additional story: there's a huge banner already calling for a. Right, big billboard calling for Kevin Durant to come to New York City next year.
The quote says, "Can you make New York sports great again?" And it includes Durant's social media handle and the hashtag KDNY2019 with an image that looks like Durant in his number 35 in a Knicks jersey next to a guy who looks like Porzingis. So you're not actually using their likeness. So I think it is legal. And, you know, they did do the same. Somebody did something like that in the same exact spot last year with LeBron. So I found that interesting. That didn't work out. But you know what, Chris?
Let the wooing begin, right?
Here's my question to you, Chris. Do the Knicks actually have a shot at Durant?
I feel like they do. I think they show enough this year. I mean, based on the comments that, you know, some reporters have said about him, like saying that, oh, LeBron went to a young team and tried it out. You know, Kevin Durant has apparently previously stated this to people close to him too. So, you know, why not? If he doesn't re-sign with the Warriors, why not the Knicks? I mean, he at this point, if he wins another championship for the Warriors, like, where else can you go from there? You know?
I totally agree. The only other way it would make sense is if he decided he's going back to the Thunder to try to redeem himself there, kind of what LeBron did with Cleveland, where he went back to his original team and won a championship there. Or if he went to, you know, let's say Washington and wanted to finish out his career, hometown. I don't think it's that.
It doesn't look like that's that. Like, last night he was joined with a lot of the Warriors, a lot of the Wizards players. So
they also put up a $144 on that Wizard team, too. We can get to that later. But
it's not exactly inspiring, especially for a team like the Wizards, who have, like, two, you know,
premier backcourt guys.
And they seem – the Wizards are another story, man. They seem like they haven't progressed, but
they seem like they're going the other direction. But going back to KD real quick, you know, he is 30 years old, right? He's averaging 27, 8, and 7 on 52% shooting. He's clearly in the middle of his prime. You know, it would be the Knicks' luck that once they did get him, he started to slip a little bit. But I don't expect that. I expect with his, you know, amazing shooting motion that he becomes – you know, a guy who can be transcendent like LeBron late into his 30s. And Chris, I would not hold my breath. I don't expect it to happen. But if Durant came to MSG and put on that Nick uniform, he would be the greatest player in the history of this franchise.
I don't think it's close. I have to agree with you. No disrespect to Willis Reed, Walt Clyde, or anybody like that.
Or Ewing, you know, tremendous guys. But at the same time, this is Kevin Durant.
Kevin might be the most talented.
But in terms of numbers-wise, a guy who could put up 30 points a game.
Bernard King had similar numbers too. But I'm just saying, like, I think Kevin Durant could be that one player to take it over the hump.
Okay. Again, we're not expecting this. We think it's possible. And it's something that Knicks fans should be excited about, but it's something that shouldn't, you know, ruin your summer if he decides he's going to stay in Golden State another year. Let's just say he did leave the Warriors and he went somewhere else, Chris. Would they still be the favorites?
I think they're only the favorites if the Warriors win again.
Okay.
How
would they not win again this year?
I would think it depends who they lose against. Because maybe it becomes like a similar to what Kobe did when the Redeem team, right? Right. It'll be like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know KD personally, but I think that'll be a reason to come back if they lose.
I saw a good quote from Frank Isola, you know, a reporter who you and I view very highly, who basically said, Durant has probably decided he is signing with the Knicks many times. And he's changed his mind, and he will probably change his mind about 100 more times between now and next summer. So whatever you hear going forward, take it with a grain of salt, people, because it does not sound like a decision will actually be made until after Fizdale and Perry and, you know, all the Knicks team meet with Durant, and the Warriors team is going to meet with Durant, and everyone's going to meet with Durant. And he's, you know, we don't know. It's probably going to be a flip of a coin, but the Knicks are in the hunt, and that's something that we should be proud of.
Yeah, and, you know, we can dream about that all until the summer.
And we will.
But right now, I want to focus on something that's happening right now with the Knicks. Kevin Knox is possibly out for a month. It looks like he's healing pretty well today. Today he was practicing on the court. But I'm curious to hear your take on his early injury, Steve. Do you think... how does this affect the team moving forward?
Well, I had two thoughts with it. First off, it looked a lot worse than him saying he's out 2 to 4 weeks, right?
Yeah.
So that is a relief. The second part is a little disappointing because, again, Durant is coming here, and you do want to showcase your young players to show, hey, there is something to build around here. This isn't you going to be carrying the team by yourself. So for Kevin Knox to not be able to play in this game is kind of a small blow for that. That being said, I think there's other young players to keep an eye out for. One guy you're very high on. I wanted you to
take this. Yeah, so here's what I like about so far with the Knicks. Fizdale has implemented sort of a revolving door kind of thing where, like, next man, one man down, next man up. And one of the early examples of that has been Damian Dotson, who has been forgotten on the bench, at least with Hornacek. Dotson would only play garbage minutes. And
Hornacek was trying to play his vet so he can get as many wins as he can to save his job. And that did not
for work. Sure, for sure. And I understand that too. But still, Damian Dotson was someone who was buried in the bench, and now he gets to have some minutes. The last few games, he's played over 20 minutes. And, he's made the most of these minutes. Right now, he's averaging close to 42%. He's averaging a little bit more than 42% from the three-point line against Miami. He was the lone highlight. He scored 20 points and had 10 rebounds against Miami. I mean, it's jumps like those that are encouraging to see with a young player like him who's only 24 years old, and he's had very little minutes in the past. So I think keeping an eye on him is, you know, the key moving forward. Marius Jonas is also another one that I really like. But the topic I really wanted to talk about today, and the one I had the most grief about, is the Rockets-Lakers fight, right? I know it's a few days old at this point, but I think it's worth...
Spitgate,
right? Talking about the suspensions that were given. You know, basically, Rajon Rondo and Chris Paul got into a fight on the court. Allegedly, it happened because Rondo spit at Chris Paul. You know, video cameras show that Rondo spit something. Spit not much, spit not a lot. I mean, it's hard to tell, really. But that apparently had Chris Paul, you know, basically poke Rondo in the face and, you know, have Rondo swing at him after that. And then, you know, Brandon Ingram coming out of nowhere and punching punching Chris Paul.
Chris, I'm a little surprised the suspensions weren't more severe. Kiki Van Der Ree with the NBA said Ingram would have gotten, you know, a stricter punishment if his punch actually connected, which I thought was very interesting there. What do you think of that?
I think it wasn't strict enough across the board. Like, you know, I don't remember how many games Carmelo, like that when, so right after the Malice in the Palace, Carmelo Anthony, when he was a Nugget and a bunch of other players got into a fight at MSG, I think Melo had like 15 games, and it was probably a similar fight to this one. I don't recall as much, but I do remember being a fight, you know, not one of these fake fights that you see almost at every other game. I also think that, you know, Chris Paul, you know, almost poked Rondo in the eye, and he got only 2 games out of it. That could have been a more serious injury, in my opinion. And Rondo, if he was the one who incited it. So based on the number of games that they were given, right? Rondo given 3 games, Paul 2. So basically, Paul wasn't a culprit in the situation, right? Because he only got 2 games. That should have been at least 5 for me, for Paul, and maybe 8 or 10 for Rondo, and maybe 15 for Ingram. But some people say that the reason why they didn't get as many games is because LeBron is now on the Lakers, and it'll hurt ratings if the team doesn't do well.
I think that's a little steep. You know, 15 games, you know, you're talking about almost a fifth of the season now, 20% of the games, you know, that's millions of dollars, but
4 games also isn't a lot.
I think it should be somewhere in the middle of those two.
Okay. You know, so 6,
I would say probably 6, 5, and 4.
Okay.
Is that crazy?
Okay. No, it's not crazy. I think that's good.
It was a very serious brawl. You don't want to encourage this. And again, Rondo and Paul have a history with this. It's been going back a decade from when Rondo was a Celtic and Paul was a New Orleans Hornet. You know, that's how long ago that was. So I would have done a little bit more there. But let's move on, Chris. You know, we're wrapping up the end of the show. The most impressive team early on. So for me, I'm going to go first. I'm going to pick the Raptors.
Chris, oh, for sure.
We both said last week we expected the Boston Celtics to win the East. Not so fast, Chris. Kawhi Leonard is back. He had 35 in his last game. And the Raptors are 5-0. Nick Nurse's look good. They're evolving into a more fast-paced offense. You know, they can play slow, they can play fast, they have depth. It matches their best start to a season in franchise history. They've already beat Boston, Chris, and to me, they've looked most impressive.
I have to agree. I love the Raptors right now, and they have the best player and the best point guard in the conference right now. Kyle Lowry is also playing great. They're what, yeah, as you said, 5-0. The one thing I'd monitor for the rest of the season is how Kawhi Leonard's health is affected. He's playing great now at the start, but it's only been 5 games, not even close to a quarter of the season. And he didn't play against the Raptors. He didn't play against the Wizards the other night. And you know, it's just like these games that periodically he's going to have to sit out. And like, I wonder how that'll affect the team when, you know, we get closer to the playoffs, right? Because of his health. As for me, I think the team that has been the most impressive has been the Nuggets. The Nuggets in, you know, without Will Barton, one of their leading scorers on the team, they've basically managed to be undefeated along with...
and their defense has been fantastic, Chris.
Right. They've held, I believe, opponents under 100 points. And that doesn't happen. And who would have thought the Nuggets, you know, led by someone like Nikola Jokic, who plays no defense, now they're one of the leading defensive teams in the NBA. So I think that's worth looking into. But again, just a few games into the season. It's a long season, and this list will probably change as we go on. But it's worth noting that the Nuggets are off to a fantastic start and have immediately cemented themselves as one of the better teams in the Western Conference.
Good pick, Chris. Good pick. Going to Jokic real quick. You know, he had triple-double the other day. 11 of 11 shooting, Chris. That is remarkable.
He also didn't... Right, as you said, he didn't miss a shot.
That's crazy. I like the New Orleans idea, too. You know, basically it reminds me a little bit of what the Magic did about a decade ago with Dwight Howard, which was you have this... you know, towering presence who will dominate his matchup every given night, and you surround him with shooters.
Yeah.
Offensive rebound shooter, if not Anthony Davis put back, you know, they're going to be unstoppable on offense, and if they can, you know, defend.
And then you have someone like
the 3-point line, they should be fine.
And then you have someone like Julius Randle also, who's a bully. So it's
leading second unit.
Like, you don't catch a break. No with breaks. The Pelicans.
Yes.
So.
I thought they might take a step back this year. They've taken a step forward. At least early on. Very early on. Any final thoughts from you before we wrap up?
Speaking on the New Orleans Pelicans for a second. We could have traded for Elfrid Payton last season.
Well, he was also a free agent. We could have signed up for Payton.
True, true.
You know, Phoenix traded for him.
Right. We could have gotten him. And look how great he's playing for the team now. I'm just saying, like, putting that out there, like, it's just a thought that I saw on Twitter the other day. I'm like, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's pretty much for me for this episode. What about you, man? What are you thinking?
First of all, you know, we talked about the Raptors early, you know, a little bit ago, and I said I thought the Sixers were the second best team in the East, and I'm already regretting that pick, Chris. It's they're 2-3. Simmons is banged up, and you know it doesn't look like they have the same shooters that they did last year with Bellinelli's. You know, elsewhere, Ilyasova's elsewhere, and it looks like they're really missing those guys, Chris. And I'm kind of regretting that pick. And you know, we talked about the pace of play last week, but Chris, it is staggering how quick these games are going in terms of how many possessions are going, which is causing the scoring to increase. The Warriors, you know, the other day put up 144. And it was kind of like no big deal. The Wizards put up 122 in that game. You know, that's over 260 points. And it's, you know, people aren't even blinking an eye. You know, that's almost common now. So
I feel like that's fine for me. And, you know, Mike Breen said something funny.
No, it's definitely fine. But it's just, it's the new norm.
Right. Mike Breen, and he's mentioned a few times in the Knicks broadcast, where like, if the 7 seconds or less team from Mike D'Antoni from... I think, what was it, 2004? I don't remember the year.
Seven seconds or less, yeah.
Right. If 7 seconds or less, you're right. Would play in today's NBA, they'd be the worst ranked team.
Slowest paced team.
Right,
yeah.
Slowest paced team. How crazy is that?
Insane.
So I love where the NBA is going. It's always entertaining. And yeah, I mean, the NBA season just started, and there's just so much to go. So that'll do it for us, guys. We'll keep you updated on the Jimmy Butler trade for the next week's show. As always, thank you for listening, and we'll catch you guys next week.